It's my great pleasure to welcome to the Sunday service this week, Mr. John Cooper Clarke. Hello, John.
Hi, Jervis.
You well?
Yeah, great.
I kind of wanted to start talking about how you got involved in poetry.
I was in a group when I was at school.
What were they called?
First of all, we were called the Mafia. We'd seen this film called Pay or Die, starring Ernest Borgnine.
Yeah. So did you dress as gangsters?
Yeah, which kind of a bit. You know, we're sort of mods, but, you know, we did that dark shirt, pale tie thing that was kind of a bit gangstery, you know, and kind of cheap bling and, you know, sort of that kind of thing. But then we thought it was going a bit far to call ourselves the Mafia. So we changed our name to the Vendettas, which sort of sounded like a scooter. So it was a bit moddy.
Because it sort of
had that scooter resonance about it. And we still kept the Mafia motif.
And were you the singer in this band?
No, my cousin Sid was the singer. But I wrote sort of songs. We were like an R&B sort of... We were really bad, I've got to tell you that. Obviously, we were really bad. The Vendetta. So I wrote all these lyrics to the tune of High Heel Sneakers. We could only play that one riff, you know, that bam, 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 you know, the High Heel Sneakers riff. But when that split up, you know, I just had all these words, and I always liked poetry at school, you know, so I wrote poetry as well, you know, and then kind of sometime in the late 60s, there was a CND benefit. In a jazz club in Manchester, and I just did a couple of poems and a couple of these songs, but I just did them as poems. So, and then, you know, one thing led to another.
But that's interesting that you started off performing, you know, because I suppose often when you think of poetry, the kind of cliche of it is that somebody working in isolation and kind of composing these things and maybe publishing something first or whatever.
Well, I had a go at publishing. I used to send stuff off to people, you know, but, you know, they weren't interested or anything. Do you know what I mean? But it seems to me, what else are you going to do with it other than perform it? I think, you know, all poetry to me, if it's any good, it sounds good. Do you know what I mean? It should have some sort of musicality about it.
Yeah, and you've got a very recognisable delivery, and it occurred to me the other year I was at Latitude. They've got like a poetry tent there at Latitude, haven't they?
Yeah.
And a lot of people kind of deliver the poems in a style, you know, reminiscent of yours.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. And there's only two ways to go, isn't there, really? I mean, how many, you know what I mean? It's not like singing, is it? Do you know what I mean? I don't think it's that they're copying me. I just think, I mean, if you think of a record like The Auctioneer by Don Lang, or, you know, there's a sort of history of it, isn't there, kind of?
I don't know that record.
Do you not know that one, The Witch Doctor, the guy that did The Witch Doctor? You don't know that one? Do you know Phil Harris, then?
No, we'll have to dig some of these out and play them.
Oh, Phil Harris. You don't know Woodman Spare That Tree by Phil Harris, no?
No, I don't.
Well, Phil Harris is the guy that did the voice for the bear in the in Jungle Book.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he does that duet with Louis Prima, you know, King of the Swingers.
Yeah, one of my favourites.
That's Louis Prima and Phil Harris there. Right. But Phil had a big band, you know. He was also a character actor. He's in quite a few westerns in the mid-50s and things like that, you know. But he was from Alabama or something like that, white guy. But he wasn't anything to do with country. He was a jazzer. You know, he was a swinging cat, but he was kind of a redneck,
right?
You know. And it was a rewrite. Woodman Spare That Tree was actually a rewrite of a sentimental kind of proto ecological Victorian poem.
Right.
You know, a very sentimental Woodman Spare That Tree, you know, as the title suggests. But the way he had it was some guys coming round chopping down trees. Comes round Phil's gaff, and he wants to chop down this slippery elm that he's got in his garden, right? But he said, and the line is, go chop a birch, an elm or a pine, But leave old Slippery there, that's mine. That's the only tree my wife can't climb, Mr. Woodman. Spare it for me. And then the big band comes in. It's his band, you know, big swinging band, you know.
So would you say that was an influence
on
you?
Yeah, I would, yeah. That and kind of Stanley Holloway, I suppose, a bit. I see what I was doing as kind of part of some sort of loose tradition. You know, I didn't really think, I don't think I actually invented anything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But it's nice to, you know, yeah, everybody's copying me. You're right there, Jarvis.
No, I'm not saying that, but, you know, it's an influence, I suppose. Like I say, the emphasis a lot is on performance. You know, performance poetry is a thing now, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
So some I'd say well done.
Well, thanks, Jarvis. It was nothing. I mean, a lot of these people are great, aren't they, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Katie Tempest, Tim Wells, Luke Wright.
All right, so after all that discussing of Phil Harris and Woodman Spare That Tree, I think we ought to hear it, shouldn't we?
We should indeed, yeah. Woodman Spare That Tree.
Okay, here we go.
A tree grows near our house. It's been there quite some time. Now the tree is a slippery elm tree and awful hard to climb. But when my wife gets after me in that tree, I always roost. Why, I can go right up it just like a healthy squirrel. I don't never need no boost. But the other day, a woodman came round to chop my refuse down. Kept mumbling something about wanting to split it into kindling wood and then spread it around the town. I said to him, I said, look here, my friend, hold on, desist, whoa, stop. Put down that forest razor. Chop not a single chop. Woodman, woodman, spare that tree. Touch not a single bough. 3 years it has protected me, and I'll protect it now. Go chop an oak, get a birch or pine, but save old Slippery there, that's mine. That's the only tree that my wife can't climb, Mr. Woodman. Spare it for me. I said to him, I said, Woody, can you see that hole way up near that old treetop? I got $5 in soft money up there, and it's yours if you refuse to chop. Now, no one can climb that tree but me, because really, friend, it's too slippery. Fact of the matter is, I can't get up there very well myself, lest my wife is after me. Now, I'm going to go home and get my wife and proceed to call her a very naughty word. Then all you do is stand by while I do that imitation of a bird. Now, you ain't going to know just where I go, that is, while my wife's around. But the only thing I ask you, Mr. Woodman, if you don't see me here on the ground, Woody, you gonna spare that tree, touch not a single bough, cause I'm gonna drop old five down to thee, the one I promised thou. Oh, but you must make that axe behave, because old Slippery there just must be saved. That's a borderline between me and the grave. Mr. Woodman, spare it. Spare that tree for me.
Hello, I'm Jarvis Cocker, and I am in conversation with Mr. John Cooper Clarke. Isn't that right?
That's true, Jarvis.
Now, I'm changing the subject totally here now, because I am a friend with Richard Hawley, as you probably know.
He's fantastic. Yes, I did know, yeah.
I've heard that you have been talking about maybe doing some project with him.
Yeah, we've been talking on the phone lately. Yeah, great. I love what he does, you know what I mean? And we've got to talk some more, because I really don't know what I can do to help. You know, he's so self-contained, he's so good at what he does. He writes great songs and he sings them fabulous. You know, so, but I'm, you know, I'm all ears, yeah. If I can help in any way.
But you were saying, this is a question I want to ask you about talking to him on the phone, and I hope you don't mind me talking about this, but you said you seem to have got quite an unusual relationship with the telephone. You could tell me whether this is true or not, but he reckons that he has to phone you at a certain time, at a number, at a phone box, because you haven't got a mobile phone. So
no,
you're available between for maybe a 1 hour window.
No, it's not
the way he's got it is you stand outside this phone box And if it rings, then you'll answer
it. Never let the facts get in the way of a good story. That's what I'm not going to. I'm not going to take exception to that. Yeah, that's how it happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
No, but that interested me because the kind of. I wondered what you thought about mobile phones because I've noticed it a lot. I was in the park the other day, and it's amazing how many kind of parents you see now. We've got the kids kind of running 10 yards in front, but then they're kind of walking in this slightly zombie way because they're holding the phone in front of them, texting whilst they're kind of...
Right.
Or checking an email or something
That's
like this.
That's right.
Completely oblivious to the surroundings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's got to be a health and safety issue, I think. You know, people crossing the road, not looking both ways. You know, I'm amazed that they haven't come down like a ton of bricks on mobile phones. But it started that people used to admire me for that. I've noticed the change in people's attitudes here with mobile phones. It used to be... I used to be admired for not having a mobile. I admire you, people used to say, not having a mobile phone, you know. And I've noticed it's changed to pure malevolence now. You know, who do you think you are? It's gone from I admire your individual stand to who do you think you are, Mr. Unavailable? You know what I mean? What's so great about you that you should be in hiding? You know what I mean? That the whole... you know, that the whole attitude to that has changed. But I'm still not going to get a mobile phone.
No, well, I wondered whether it was something to do with...
There's about half a dozen in the house, but, you know...
Stay away from
it. I don't know which ones work.
But, you know, there is an issue there with the fact, like I was saying, you'll see people in a park, it's nice and sunny and stuff like that, but they don't really seem to be interacting with that. They're in another zone.
That's
because
it, they're not in the moment. They're not in the moment. And then people have... been ringing you up for so long that by the let's meet somewhere else. I'm going to be an hour late, blah, blah, blah. And by the time you meet them, you haven't got nothing to talk about because you've left the fight in the gym talking on the mobile phone. So everybody's at one meeting ahead, aren't they? So when they get to meet you, they actually haven't got anything to say anymore.
Mm.
So they text somebody else, you know, while talking. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's a very disruptive force in society, I think.
No, but I think maybe it's important, you know, in your game, if I can call it a game, you've got to be observant, haven't you?
You've got to be. Yeah.
And if you're not actually in the place you are,
right, Jarvis,
it's going to affect your work, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
No, I'm glad we've sorted that out. Death to the mobile phone.
If you're looking for an argument, you better pick a different subject.
I forget where I saw this. I think there was a thing about that. There was a lot of technical stuff about poems. You know, like the form of, a sonnet or haiku or something like this.
Yeah.
Is that something that you study yourself?
Not a lot, but in fact, I only found out about 3 weeks ago what an iambic pentameter is. It's the same thing as a sonnet, isn't it? Five beats in it.
I don't know.
And it's great. It's a real good... It's fabulous. I wish I'd, you know... It's like a rhyming dictionary. I wish I'd got them 20 years ago, you know what I mean? I'm just sort of... I think I must have thought it was cheating or something. Have you got a rhyming
No, I know what you mean. I don't... I ain't got one, though.
You ought to get one, Jarvis. You're in the game.
This could get rid of my writer's block, could it?
It absolutely could. Yeah, absolutely could. It's like a poem about everything. Rhyming dictionary, just look it up. Millions of them. Fantastic. Why struggle?
No, but it's interesting because I just wondered, so when you started writing poems, you were just kind of working with what felt right to you. You didn't like think, oh, I'll make this fit into a particular form or anything.
No, I didn't, because what was all the rage when I started writing poetry, it was all like, rhyming was real out of the, you know, it was out of the picture. It was, you know what I mean? It was all like beat poetry. So I started doing that really, beat poetry. You know, I thought, after I started, you know, reciting these songs, these high heel sneakers inspired poems, I thought this isn't what the hip young poets are doing really. What I'm doing here is a bit old fashioned, this rhyming business, but I like it. I like rhyming because it's sort of, it takes care of a lot of stuff, that, doesn't it, if it rhymes.
Yeah, I think
you've only got to worry about the last word.
Well, I think there's a real satisfaction when you, in a good rhyme.
There is, isn't there?
Mm. Yeah. And it's like, it's also, I mean, in songs, it is where you can come a cropper. I did a bit of a lecture about lyric writing, and I kind of, it was quite interesting because it taught me a bit about lyric writing, because I suppose I'm the same as you, as in I started doing it and I didn't really think about all the technicalities of it. But when you kind of study lyrics a bit, I kind of came up with this thing that structurally, the rhyme, it's like there's loads more emphasis on that word than the rest of the words in the line, aren't there?
Yes.
And it's kind of like you finish a line, and then for the duration of the next one, the audience are kind of in a bit of a state of anxiety, thinking, well, how's he going to, you know, what's he going to find to rhyme with that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if you don't hit it with a good one, it's like...
People feel cheated.
Well, it's like the main beam of the house going, and it all kind of crashes down.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, you're right, yeah.
So, but when you get it right, and they don't see it coming,
that's
fantastic.
That's where the expertise is, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
So have you ever written a haiku poem?
I've written one, yeah, yeah.
Would you mind hitting me with it?
Sure. Haiku number one. To convey one's mood in 17 syllables is very difficult. Well, that's my only one.
It's a good one.
Thanks, Jarvis.
Yes, it is a good one, isn't it? We'll be having a longer poem than that from John Cooper Clarke in a second. But as he was leaving the building, I was telling him that we were doing like a kind of special American Independence show today. And he said, oh, you've got to play American Trilogy by Elvis. So here you are, John.
Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Oh, I wish I was in Dixieland, I'll take my stand to live and die. For Dixieland's where I was born. Early Lord, one frosty morn. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Soon be over.
Welcome back. This is Jarvis Cocker in conversation with John Cooper Clark. Now, this interview is going to go out on Sunday, which is American Independence Day.
Oh, the 4th of July, right. Yeah. Right.
Now, I don't know if you've got anything even vaguely appropriate.
I haven't got anything appropriate, but if only we'd have won that war. We could have been...
Well, that was the beginning of our kind of decline, I suppose, wasn't it?
Yeah, I blame George III.
Yeah, the empire couldn't... That was its furthest reach, and then it started contracting after
that. That's right, yeah. Yeah, it was a bad sign of things to come. We should have hung on to that one.
Well, maybe you should...
That was the jewel in the crown.
Maybe you should do your most...
That was the jewel in the crown, right there, wasn't it?
Maybe you should do your most mournful poem, then, to mark that.
I don't have. I got any mournful. Well, I don't think I've got. I don't think I do mournful. Do I do mournful?
I don't know. Well, tell you
I
what.
Must have. I'm an
okay,
old
to celebrate guy. To celebrate independence of spirit, do whatever you want.
Oh no, yeah, that's
about
a nice.
That? How about
what a
that?
Great link. Fantastic. I couldn't have done it. That was terrific. All right. All right, this is one that's very close to my heart at the moment. It's a very recent number. It's called I've Fallen in Love with My Wife.
Right.
Yeah. The doorbell used to say ding dong, but now it breaks out into song. If I'm forlorn, it ain't for long. Could I be wrong, or have I fallen in love with my wife? Fare thee well, my fairy fay, we cared so slightly anyway. Call me crazy with a capital K, but I've fallen in love with my wife. I've fallen in love with my wife. She populates my days. With marital breakdown running rife, I've got to keep her in my gaze. You love somebody, set them free. That don't make no sense to me. I'm keeping her under lock and key. I've fallen in love with my wife. Rainbows and butterflies occupy the summer skies. Imagine my surprise. I've fallen in love with my wife. I've fallen in love with my wife. She populates my days. It's keeping me awake at night. My head's stuck in this funky maze. Every time I talk, I mumble. Every time I walk, I stumble. I'm dancing like a drunken uncle. I've fallen in love with my wife. I've fallen in love with my wife. She populates my days. She's not that far from a carving knife. I've got to keep her in my gaze. I don't swear, but what the hey? I'm all right and she's okay. Get out of her way. I've fallen in love with my wife. I'm her man, she's my mate. She steals the chips right off my plate. No wonder I'm losing weight. I've fallen in love with my wife. I steal a kiss, she takes the piss. We lived a life of ignorant bliss. All that and now this. I've fallen in love with my wife. Da-da.
That's lovely.
You like that?
Yeah.
Straight from the heart.
Now, John.
Yeah.
I believe that you're going to be performing at... So is it some kind of literary festival at the Royal Festival Hall?
I think it is part of the London Literature Festival,
right.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's at the Queen Elizabeth Hall on the 9th of July.
All right. Friday.
Is it on a Friday?
I think it's a Friday, yeah.
No work tomorrow.
Exactly. They can come, let their hair hang down.
That's right, yeah.
All right.
Can stay up late.
All right, John. Thanks for coming in.
Pleasure, mate. That's it.